Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Terry Fletcher.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Terry Fletcher, which that means it's time for What the Football, so WTF, and it is week 9. So I usually start with the what's going on around the league, but and then end with what's happening with the Steelers and how our game fared out. But this week, I'm going to start with the Steelers game. Now, I know you've heard a lot with Joe and Brian and the podcasts on the overreactions, the reactions, the pregame, but it's time for a Terry take. How about that? And we had Monday Night Football, and it's so fresh in our minds. First, I want a WTF shout out to the NFL officiating for not handing down a fine to Browns' Jordan Elliott for a hit to the head last week of Chris Boswell that concussed him. Once you become a passer, whether it was a good call or not, passers are protected, and they're supposed, all passers are protected. So the fact that he didn't get a flag was one thing, but he didn't get a fine either. So this NFL selective rule not enforced, to me, is not just a WTF, but it's BS. It's ridiculous. And remember, I'm seeing a lot of the comments out there about it, but it doesn't have to be flagrant. A blow to the head or the helmet should just be called. That's what they're saying they're trying to protect players from. You see all the time when running backs are running and they lower their head into a defender and the defender gets called for it. I saw even last night where, or the other night, I should say, where one of the quarterbacks lowered his head to get to the sideline and it went into another player. So anytime there is a head-to-head contact, anytime you're hitting them or there's anything like that, it's flagrant, regardless if the definition of flagrant is there. But a hit to the head should have been called. We're just happy that Chris is okay and was able to play on Monday Night Football. So let's talk about that Monday Night Football game from a WTF standpoint. First of all, we won 29-27. Okay, that's the good news. But talk about a stressful game. So one thing that you should know about me is that every week when we have a win, I actually record that that game, and then I rewatch it later, not just to have notes for my WTF, but at nighttime when I decide I want to do some leisure reading, which is not very often, I like it, just relaxes me. I get to rewatch the game in quiet time. I watch it in my room and I'm just, okay, what did I miss and what are we doing? And it makes me happy, right? Okay, I know, female, what can I say? But this game, I don't know if I can rewatch it. It was just a heartbeater from the time we started and just till the time it ended. I mean, we were on the edge of our seats. If you may not know my husband, I've mentioned him at all, but Tom is a diehard Steelers fan, two clicks away from painting his face black and gold. But he was yelling. I mean, just yelling, mainly at Ray Ray McLeod. But it was just crazy. First of all, we were 14-0 to start. Okay, so that's great. But then when we get that fumble by Ray Ray, we're up 2 scores. What are you doing? So you don't need to basically come out and fight for those yards because, as we know, he does have a little bit of a butterfinger issue. And so he should have just had fair catch and things would have been great. That was definitely a turning point in the game. The missed extra point. Okay, how many of you were like, that is going to come back to bite us in the butt at some point? And it did. It put us a point behind where we had to drive down. There was no question of even going into overtime. We had to go and get that extra field goal with over a minute left. And when you give Ben Roethlisberger a minute or less, let's just face it, he knows what to do with it. Then also, I want to call out James Washington. You know, he's not getting a lot of snaps, and so this is a WTF for him. And I'm wondering why he's doing this. But when he gets the ball, he's trying to go into players instead of just get to the outside, do a swing route, and get those extra couple of yards. And he's starting to go backwards. So I don't know what's happening with him, but it's going backwards, not forwards. That's really just kind of crazy. So here's a fun little WTF. We're 2nd and 19, okay? Why are we handing the ball to Benny Snell? Why are we doing a running play? We need a first down. We need to get some of that yardage back. What the heck? So, well, let me go back. What the football? I don't understand what's going on there. So, you know, Matt Canada, when things go right, everybody's like, even the announcers are like, oh, he's great. Tomlin loves him. But then when things go wrong, you scratch your head and think, you know, what are you doing? Did you go to the, you know, Fichtner school of offensive play call? I mean, it doesn't make sense to me when I see those kinds of things. Now let's get to taunting. Okay, well, it's all over the news. It was on Good Morning Football. It was on PFF podcast. You name it, it was everywhere. The Cassius Marsh taunting penalty to the sideline of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So we saw him as the punter was coming on the field, looking back at the sideline. You know, maybe, you know, we didn't know what he said. Obviously, the audible wasn't on. We couldn't hear the audio. But maybe, you know, it was him basically saying, you shouldn't have cut me, because 2 months ago he was a Steeler. And maybe he was just kind of saying, oh, that was a mistake. Well, he definitely went to this, was looking at the sideline. And whether you agree with it or not, and I think we got away with one there, taunting rules changed this year. You know, March does a ninja kick, struts around the field, walks towards the Steelers bench, gets in Harvin's path, bumps a ref. I mean, just little things like that. Even his coach yelled at him when he came back to the sideline, like, what are you doing? Just get back here. You know, he made a play, a sack on Ben that changed the game. We would have had to give the ball back. And now this penalty gives us a first down. So it was a penalty. I don't want to debate it. If it's dumb, it was dumb. I mean, I think all the taunting penalties now, the players can't even show emotion anymore. But it is what it is, okay? I used to tell my daughter, who played softball in all her whole life, basically, and then to college, that she goes, that wasn't a strike. I'm like, you know what? If the umpire calls it a strike, it's a strike. You need to protect the plate. So it just, you have to protect your team, regardless of who did it. But that definitely was a change. So here's where, and that gave us, we were at 14-14, that gave us a first down and able to go down and get a field goal. Another WTF was the low block they called on TJ Watt on the edge. And the announcer said, you know, unless it's in the tackle box, that was questionable. I didn't even see him touch him. So did we get some favorable calls our way last night? I think we kind of did. That's my opinion. But how many times do calls go towards the Steelers? Rarely. So, and also Chicago, you know what, Bears, how many times can you get that neutral zone infraction? You know, it was only called twice on a player that is a, should be considered a veteran player. But when you go back and look at it, it actually could have been called every single down. They're absolutely nuts. And then the Ben rushing, trying to get that first down. That was pretty funny. I loved it, though. You know what? Ben is just, he's being Ben. He's doing what he can to win a game. But we just had too many negative run plays. And it just, you can't do that if you're trying to win games. And I was actually, I didn't want to lose on Monday Night Football. You know our record there. It's so great. And the positive, I mean, what the football Freiermuth. I absolutely love Pat. He is becoming the Heath that we've missed, and he's just amazing. I mean, seriously, Eric Ebron, who, sorry, but I hope that Ebron is now considered number 3 on the depth chart. You know, you just need Pat in there. He fights for every ball. He catches everything. That 50-50 ball in the end zone, I mean, he is just crazy. So crazy good. Now let's go and talk about, again, rounding out back to Chris Boswell. Okay, Chris is off of concussion protocol. He comes in the game, and this boy, oh my goodness, he is just awesome. He's the first player, here's a what the football moment for Chris, first player in NFL history to make 2 50-yard plus field goals, and I was actually surprised that Tomlin sent him out for that 54. He doesn't do that. He made a game-winning field goal and recovered a fumble all in the same game. So I think he needs to be part of Renegades. So does Cam Hayward. He said it on a radio show this morning. So it was amazing, and we just love Chris. And he is so stoic. You never see him show emotion. And after he made that fumble recovery and got hit doing that, he was all smiles at the other side. I mean, talk about a warrior, that guy. So he kudos to Chris for sure. Steelers are now second in the AFC at 5-3. Oh my gosh, if we have more games like this is going to be something. So let's circle back and see what's going on. Oh, and I also wanted to shout out Coach Tomlin. That was his 150th win. He passed Coach Bill Cowher and also got a Twitter congrats from Coach Cowher. So we appreciate that. So, and he even said, you know what, Chuck feels you coming. So we've only had three coaches in the last, 65, 70 years. And boy, do we have some great coaches. So that was awesome for Coach Tomlin. So let's circle back to Thursday night football. Colts versus Jets. And 45-30. Yeah, the over was 43. I took the over. Yeah, I think I did okay at 75 points. But it was just a boring game. I was at book club and we were at a restaurant talking about a really fun murder mystery. And everybody knows I'm a football fan. And they're like, Terry, you haven't even checked your phone. I'm like, why? It's the Colts and Jets. So even though I did have a player I put in last minute and got me 27 points, I was like, that there's nothing going on in that game. But good for the Colts. AFC, so I kind of wish the Jets would have pulled it out. But you know what? It was a crazy game. Everybody likes high-scoring games. So Cardinals versus 49ers. So who does everybody think is the team to beat in the NFC? I would have to say Arizona Cardinals. I mean, what the football? They had no Kyler Murray, no DeAndre Hopkins, no J.J. Watt. No problem. They took care of business. They had Colt McCoy as their backup, and this should give you an idea why it's so important to have a solid backup on your team. But they took care of business, and I'm so happy for running back James Conner, our former running back. He is in a really good situation for him, and he led the way with three touchdowns. That puts him at 11 for the year, and I just think, you know, they won 31-17, best team in the NFL right now, in my opinion. So when you're starting quarterback and your best wide receiver, one of the best in the NFL, isn't in, and you have a player that's out for the season, and J.J. Watt, defensive player, two times of the year, and you basically still win by that margin, that's fantastic. And everybody's touting how great the 49ers are. So, you know, good teams win games, and that's what they are. Now let's go to Green Bay. Okay, so Joe says I can't get controversial ever on WTF, but I'm going to just get a little controversial. You know, whatever your status is, you know what I'm talking about. Just own it. Who cares? Don't lie about it. So what about the Green Bay backup, Jordan Love? So first round pick, Jordan Love. Aaron Rodgers is out, of course. He's on the COVID list. Well, Jordan didn't do so well. So the Chiefs win 13-7. Talk about a low scoring game. But they pulled it out. You didn't have any doubt really with Jordan Love going in there that they were going to win. But the Chiefs aren't blowing anybody else out anymore. Do you notice that? So everybody used to say that the way to the Super Bowl was either through the Patriots or the Chiefs, but I'm not saying it's through the Chiefs anymore. So I think the AFC is pretty wide open right now. I think right now the Bills still have things going on, except we'll talk about that in a minute. But the Titans, they're just coming for us. And when you watch them play, talk about an angry defense. And that's what you need. I think they're definitely a contender. But going back to the Bills, okay, so quarterback Josh Allen, well, and also defensive player Josh Allen for the Jags. Well, Josh Allen sacked Josh Allen, Josh Allen intercepted Josh Allen, and Josh Allen recovered a Josh Allen fumble. Yeah, try to follow that. That's pretty funny. So definitely WTF. The Jags have won now two at home, if you can call London a home game. I guess they do. But the score was 9-6. Yes, I was watching a baseball game. Luckily it was red zone because it was a very boring game, but it was just really funny. First time the NFL had a player of the same name and a player of the same name go against each other and make all kinds of plays. But who had the most points in that game? It definitely wasn't Josh Allen, the quarterback of Bills. It was Josh Allen, the defender of Jacksonville. So Browns, Bengals. Well, we needed the Browns to win because we've beat them. And it was a high-scoring game. And so 41-16, both 5-4, Bengals now last in the AFC North, lost three in a row, and here we are. So Minnesota Ravens, you know, you had one job to do. I don't get Minnesota sometimes. They had a 14-point lead. Then the Ravens came back with 1 minute left, and they won in overtime. Bad play calling from Minnesota in overtime after the Ravens fumbled. And it just, 20-17 Ravens. So yes, they're first, Steelers second, Browns third, and Bengals are last right now in our division. So, you know, what the football, Minnesota, you couldn't help us out just a little bit there. That would have been really helpful. We haven't played the Ravens yet, so it would have been helpful to see them lose another one. Texans versus Miami's. Okay, if you really wanted to be put to sleep, or you know what, maybe you're into turnovers. 8 turnovers, worst game in NFL history in 27 years, they said. Miami won by 8, but oh my gosh, everybody was fumbling the ball, intercepting the ball. It was sad, really. I don't know what's going on in the Texans. Miami, who knows, but it is really sad out there. So talk about a what the football moment. And then Sunday Night Football, Matthew Stafford. Well, he is my quarterback in one of my fantasy leagues. And coming into week 9, I was supposed to win 3 out of 4. Yeah, I won 1 because everybody laid an egg. Josh Allen laid an egg. Matthew Stafford throws 2 pick 6, I should say, in 26 seconds versus the Titans. I mean, talk about spotting them 14 points. And it was just one of the worst games by Stafford. I think he still thought he was in Detroit. So Titans win 28-16. Both teams are 7-2, so I'm sure they're just going to be, you know, saying, well, we'll just shake that one off. But all defense by Coach Vrabel, and he was just a beast on defense for his team. And the Titans are definitely someone to reckon with, so we're going to keep our eye on them for sure. So we're at the midway point of the season, and the NFL, and you know how the media likes to say, well, who would be in the playoffs if we ended now? Well, we didn't end now, so let's just say we're at the midway point. What would be the current wild card weekend matchups? Well, Patriots at Ravens, Steelers at Chargers, Raiders at Bills, Falcons at Packers, Saints at Bucks, and Rams at Cowboys. And the number one seeds right now, Cardinals and Titans, would get a bye. So we've got some work to do. 5-3 is nothing to sit on, but it is nice to have that little bit of cushion over 500. It's nothing to get all too excited about because, again, let's face it, we're dealing with the Ravens who are 6-2. But who do we see next week? So Sunday, November 14th, we see the 0-8 Lions. Detroit is playing terrible. And is this a trap game? Don't you hate that phrase? WTF, Terry. Yes, I hate that phrase. But we're at home, and I just don't want it to get ugly. We need to, you know, not look at their record. We need to, and I say we, I mean the Steelers, we just need to, you know, take care of business. And let's hope that is a high-scoring game. I'd love a 50-burger. How about everybody else? You know, with a little mustard on that, little pickle, that'll be great. So let's hope that week 10 shows to us that we can move ahead to 6-3. All right, everyone, make it a great day. Make it a great rest of your week. And thank you for listening to the WTF podcast on Steel City Underground.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.